I've been cutting firewood for probably 48 years. And is that about as far back as I can remember when my dad installed a wood stove into our house. Prior to that house catching fire, and we had to move from that house because it burned that house, and then on into different houses, and then different houses that Cheryl and I have lived in. As far as I can calculate, it's around 48 to 50 years that I've been cutting firewood. And I've learned a lot from cutting firewood, and I'm right on the verge. At 54 years old, I'm right on the verge of buying a hydraulic splitter. You know what I mean? I mean, the axe is, or borrowing one or something. Or the axe is getting just a little bit more than what I want to continuously do as I split firewood. But I also know that cutting firewood is my workout at the gym, so to speak. But also I know that cutting firewood takes a sharp chain. And if you don't have a sharp chain on your saw, it really gets to be work. And then it gets to be frustrating as the chain would continue to dull, it goes from just extra work to really frustrating to almost unable to do it. And so to sharpen the chain, to keep the chain sharp, is highly important. I am not very good at that. I have purchased several different kinds of sharpeners in my life, and I purchased just a file, and I know some of you are very talented at that. And you've tried to teach me, and you tried to show me, and it just doesn't seem to come out my hands of how to sharpen the saw. The saw I know needs to be sharpened. Even when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with a saw, it still gets dull. But every once in a while, you hit something, or you hit some ice, or you hit something frozen, and it becomes dull more quickly. So just recently, at the advice of some of you and the good reviews, I bought another sharpener. It's brand new. It's still wrapped up. I haven't ventured into it. I just got it, just unwrapped it this week. I have full expectation that this is going to be able to get me back on the sharp chain business and continue to cut wood. It comes with a 12 volt, so I can take it right to the woods with me. I can hook it up to my truck, because cutting wood matters if you're sharp or not. I've become also familiar that life is the same way. That I need to be sharp, and just living life can just dull me, and I need to stay sharp if I'm going to be able to accomplish what I need and want, and I think have the ability to accomplish. I need to be sharpened on a regular basis, or life gets really hard. It becomes much more work, and then it becomes frustrating, and then it becomes almost unbearable if I cannot stay sharp in who I am. And so I have a sharpening process in my life, just like a sharpener for a chainsaw. I have a sharpening process, and part of my sharpening process is time with God. I need to spend time with God on a regular basis. God is the one that sharpens me. God is the one who knows me better than anyone else. God is the one who is not afraid to speak into my life. He's not afraid to challenge me and to also comfort me, sometimes in the same sentence. Without time with God, I become dull. This is just my personal journey. Maybe it looks similar to your sharpener. And then I have time in the Word. I know I need to be in the Word of God, because the Word of God will sharpen me. And I know I need time with trusted people. I need people in my life. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I need trusted people in my life that'll help get me strong and sharp. Because if I'm not sharp, life gets frustrating. And then it gets unbearable and undoable. And also I need time away, so to speak. I don't know if it's away from vacation, or if it's just away to my shop, or just away at times. You just need times to step aside and get your mind on different things at different times. I've become very familiar that I need that in my life. And also I need a time I call growing my brain. And I need a time where I spend extra time growing my brain. And sometimes God will give me a thought or give me a situation or a challenge of that we're facing, or that I'm facing, or this world is facing. And then I go and I start to dig into that and understand more about that. and I read about it, and I read articles about it, and I talk to other people about it, because I want my brain to grow in that, and I want to stay sharp of what's going on in our world and what's going on in people's lives. Recently, God has brought to my attention a book called The Brave New Brain. And I'm always interested in having a brain and being able to have a brave brain. And a very interesting book, and I've shared with some of you, way above my pay scale, the author is a PhD and an MD. I know I have to read it slow. I have to look up words that she uses. But I'm committed to understanding mental health is where I'm going. I want to understand what goes on between my ears that they maybe can help me or hinder me in my walk. I want to understand so I can help others in this mental health, in our the healthiness of our mind. And I have been on this journey for a long spell here, and I'm collecting information and collecting challenging thoughts in my own life just so I can get a broader picture. Not surrendering time with God and time in the Word, but growing my brain as well. And I need to grow my brain. And I realize that there's some statistics that really scare me at times when I start to see in the mental health medicine what's going on in our world. And how many 80 million plus people are on some sort of mental health medicine. And I don't have any problem. Don't hear this about, that's not a problem. I'm not speaking that is a problem in your life. If you have that in your life, okay, I want to understand. And then I start to see the category of my age is the highest use of mental health medicines. And so I got to wonder what is going on in my life. What's going on in my generation? What's going on? That between 25, which is most of us, and through 64, that there is over 49 million people. And so this is part of the research that God has got me on and just understanding what it means. And I was reading an article in Psychology Today just this past week. And it's entitled this, Why You Feel Regret and What You Can Do About It. And we've been talking about regret for the last few weeks. And it's not just because I think it's a cool subject. It's because I think it's a reality. And I'm sharpening my brain. And I want to grow my brain and understanding what's going on in the gray matter between my ears. And so as I study, I bring it to us. As I understand it, I bring it to us. I'm not just looking to fill a half an hour or 40 minutes with some sort of sermon. I want something real that God is doing in our lives. And so as I read this article, the person's sense of self is made up of three components: actual self, ideal self, and ought self. I find it very interesting as I read through that article and read through the research and the study that's been going on. But this is how the article starts. If you look back over the course of life, do you feel you took advantage of every opportunity that came your way? Or are you living with a weight of regret? No matter how accomplished you may be, it's true that everyone experiences the harsh reality of knowing they failed to take action in pursuing something they wanted for themselves. And it goes on to say, is there any other way? Really? These are inevitable realities of living in a complex life, a life full of ups and downs. And perhaps, in theory, there's a small handful of super-powered people living regret-free lives. The emphasis is in the article, not mine. I found it very interesting that the author says maybe there's a group of people that have a super-power ability to live a regret-free life. Just possibly. To live a regret-free life. But the vast majority of us, regret is a real thing that we have to face. So whether you bemoan doing something you wish you hadn't, or missed doing something you wish you had, regret is a universal emotion. And as I said several weeks in a row, I am not going to be okay with a regret regretted life. I want a regret-free life, and I think we can live it. I think we can be part of that super-powered group of people, that handful, perhaps just that handful of people, super-powered to be able to live a regret-free life. Perhaps, he said, in theory, perhaps there could be that out there somewhere. And I want to holler at the page, it is! It's available! As we walk with God, He will never lead us into something that we regret. I can live a regret-free life. I know, and I can ask the questions this morning, right now. What is one thing that I regret very much? Was it a word I spoke, or an action I took or did not take, or a choice that I made that was foolish? And I ask myself, do I want to be healed from that? Do I want to be healed from that regret in my life? Do you want to be healed from that regret? Or do you just want to be one of the many that just learns to live with that heartache or that mental thing that's going on in the gray matter between our ears? Or do we want to experience real healing from the regret we feel from the past? And then I asked the question too to myself. I said, when I ask this question again in an hour from now, in a week from now, in a month from now, in a day from now, do I want the list of things I regret in that last period of time to be not there? Does that make sense this morning? So I'm not only looking to heal from the regrets of the past, I'm looking to stop making things that I am regretting. I'm stop doing things that I regret. Stop saying things that I regret. Stop having an action that I regret. And it, some actions, listen, if you don't regret some of your actions, you should be. And God says, why don't you walk with me? And we've been unpacking that for the last few weeks. That how do I live a regret-free life? How do I come to the end of this day, or the end of this week, or the end of this month, or the end of the year, or the end of my life, without a whole pile of regrets that is taxing me, that is weighing me down, that is dulling me, even though I got to live life, it's getting frustrating because these things keep building up and building up and building up and building up in my life. We started in a few weeks ago with live a praise His name life. Living a praise His name life will leave us with no regrets. And just as I promised, I took the little to no out of the statement, leaving us with no regrets. Living a praise His name life, we will not have a regret. We opened that box. We opened the box, praise His name. And we looked in this box, and we discerned what was in this box. And we found out that the praise of God is powerful. We found out in Psalm 8, it says, Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. And it unpacked the praise, and because praise causes us to be victorious. It causes us to wonder, not wander. It causes us to know real purpose in our life and care for what is His. It's good for your husband or your wife to praise God, because then all of a sudden they start caring for what God cares for. And all of a sudden we start having victory over what God wants us to have victory over. And all of a sudden we start to wonder about God and the deeper things of God and wanting to go deeper with God there rather than wandering off the path and always coming back on and off and on and off and on. I preached a message a few years ago, a blinking Christian. Are you tired of being a blinking Christian? In our house, the Christmas lights don't blink. If they do, they make me dizzy. And I don't want to be a blinking Christian. I want to be a solid light of the world. And living a praise God's life, praising His name life, will allow me to be the light of the world and not some blinking Christian. And allow me to have victory and to wonder about the deeper things of God and not wander from God and know the real purpose of life. And when I get on the real purpose of life and I start to engage in the real purpose of life, I'm not living a life I'm going to regret. I'm living the power of God in my life. And we opened up a couple weeks ago, we opened up the box of embrace His Word.
And we started to unpack what it means to live an embracing God's word life will leave me with no regrets. And we found out in Psalm 33 that the word of God is right and true and is powerful and productive. And the word of God is a chaos killer. And the word of God has authority. And the word of God carries victory with it. And when you and I hold on to and hold out the word of life a couple of weeks ago, to hold on to and hold out the word of life, we start to hold on to what is right and true and hold out what is right and true and hold on to what is powerful and productive and hold out what is powerful and productive and hold on to what is a chaos killer in our lives. I've been in a couple of situations this past week the people that God has brought into my life that I was sure that I was in the middle of a tornado. And every once in a while you could see something you could identify. I was like, I can't make any sense of this. Because it's chaos. Because it's this big windstorm. Living in and embracing God's word life will enable us to step out of that and start living on a foundation. And when we live on the foundation of something that kills chaos and has authority and carries victory, all of a sudden we're not living a life that we regret. We're living an unregretted life. We're some of the few empowered. By theory, might be a possibility. It is a possibility. I'm telling us today, I'm telling myself, I can look in the mirror and say, it's a possibility. I'm telling you right now, it's a possibility. You need to get up today. You need to praise God. You need to get up today. You need to embrace His word because living an unregretted life is a possibility. And I will never sign on that I can't help it. I will never sign on that this is the way it is. I will never sign on that I'm just going to end my life with a bunch of regrets. No, I ain't. Because every regret I have is a wound on someone else. The regret is the gift that keeps on giving. And this morning, just looking at Psalm 33, again, just one of the verses says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chooses for His inheritance. Of all the choices, look at it in yellow. If all the choices God couldn't have made, He chose to choose you. God chose to choose you and to choose me. Of all the choices that He could have made in this world, He chose us. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this, for we know, brothers, loved by God, He has chosen you. And he goes on to talk about the gospel in that passage of Scripture. Because the gospel came to you, and because you received the gospel, we know that you don't receive it unless God gives it to you. And we know that when God gives it to you, He's choosing you at that very moment. Whether you're choosing Him or not, He's choosing you. And He's holding His hand out. He said, come, I'm choosing you today. Some of us remember the day when God, for the first time in our lives, we heard Him say our name. Ed, today I'm choosing you. Other times, I'm sure there was times in my life when God was extending His hand to me. And He said, I'm choosing you. And I didn't choose Him that day, but He was choosing me. But one day, July the 18th, 1996, He chose me and I received that choosing in my life. And a reality was born in my life. And when I can answer the text, I can help you know what to do to be reborn. Absolutely, because I know what it feels like to be reborn. It's God choosing you, and it's you receiving that choosing. Rejoice in His choosing. Rejoice in His choosing. I like the words that can be replaced with rejoice there. It says, crow! Cry out with delight. I think about that when I think of a rooster. I want to pack like chickens in this box, but I couldn't. I wanted to let them out of the box. Say, woo! Cock-a-doodle-doo! Do you ever get tired? I had a rooster. We had a rooster one time. The girls go, you know, they hatch the eggs, these little cute little eggs at school. Then they send them home with the kids. Then they grow into chickens. Then they grow into roosters. And then they're very annoying. And all he's doing is crowing. All he's doing is crying out with delight. It's morning! Woo! Wake up! Woo! The sun is coming up, he's saying. And God said, I want you to rejoice in that choosing in your life. I chose you. Will you rejoice? Exuberant. I like that. I try to learn a new word about once a year. And that's this year's word. 2019 year word. Exuberant. Burst forth with unrestrained enthusiasm. That's the word again. Rejoice can be replaced by exuberant. So if you're a redneck, crow, okay? If you're a little more refined, exuberate, okay? Whatever you want to do, rejoice in his calling. Rejoice in his choosing of you. Crowing or exuberate, I don't care. We need to rejoice in his choosing of us. He chose you, man. The effects of being chosen are eternal. They last a lifetime. That means they start today and they'll never end. The effects of being chosen start today and they'll never end. 1 Peter 2:9. I just want to spend a few moments there this week, this day. 1 Peter 2:9 says, But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. But you, he says, starts out, But you, and he ends with verse 8, he says this, they stumble because they are disobedient to the message. But you are different. Some stumble because they're not embracing the word of God. They stumble because they don't live an embracing God life. But you are different than that. But you, a chosen people. But you, a chosen people, are not like that. You do not stumble, but you are chosen. And we, this morning, we open up this chosen. We are chosen. We are chosen people. You are chosen. And I would like to spend a lot of time, and I know there's no football today and there's no NASCAR today. This is Gap Sunday. So we're going to go for extra time. The game is here today, okay? And I'd like to unpack each one of these, but can I just let them loose among us today of what you're chosen for? You're a chosen people. You're a chosen people. God chose you. We need to crow or exuberate in that choosing. We need to rejoice in that choosing. Because when we begin to rejoice in the choosing, as we embrace the word and as we live a praise his name life, that's not going to be a regretted life. That's going to be an empowered life. That's going to be a handful of the few who might find it. That's going to be us. That's going to be you and me. He said, you are a chosen people. You are chosen to be the people who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've been chosen to be the people to carry and to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are chosen to be sealed. You are chosen to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. He chose you to receive a sealing from the Holy Spirit. As a believer in Jesus Christ, he chose you to carry and to be sealed, to be tattooed by the Holy Spirit, that he may dwell in you. He chose you for that. He didn't just choose you for heaven someday, which that's included, I get it. But he chose you today to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. He chose you to receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. He chose you to receive power. I want you to receive power. Whoa, you're my choice. I'm telling me, let me look back here in this mirror again. I'm telling me right now, I've been chosen to receive the Spirit, and I've been chosen to receive the power that comes from that Spirit. If you would just embrace that, you numbskull, if you could just embrace that, and rejoice and crow or exuberate over that reality. That he chose me to receive power through the Holy Spirit. He has chosen me to be the people who stand in victory. I am not fighting for victory. I stand in victory. And from that victory, I do battle. I'm not trying to get to God. I am in God. Amen. I'm not trying to earn his favor. I stand in his favor. Because I have been chosen to stand in his favor. Woo! Somebody got to crow. Somebody got to exuberate. You have to exuberate. You got to do it like this, right? Exuberate when you grow. Woo! I got a whole stack of cards. I know I need to get going. Every time I do stuff like this, I feel like the lineman who picks up the ball on the 3-yard line and runs it back 97 yards for the touchdown. But it doesn't matter. He's 325 pounds. You can't stop him anyway. He could walk his way there. God has chose us to stand in victory. He's chose you, man, to stand in victory. You're already there. You need to live it out. He's chose us to be the people who are handed the shield of victory. Not only do you stand in victory, now he's handed you the shield of victory to do battle with. It already has victory inside of it. It already has victory inside of it. And he chose you to give it to. You know the problem is, I got to go back here and look in the mirror again. You leave it in the closet way too often. He has chosen us to be the people who carry the sword of the Spirit. To carry the sword of the Spirit. Which is the Word of God. He's chose us. He's chose us to put on the full armor of God. That so we can stand. We can stand. And we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. He's chose you and me to fit us with the armor of God. It fits you. It's your size. And he's chose you to wear it. He's chose you to be people who go from strength to strength to strength to strength. He's chose you to be stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. He's chose you to be stronger and stronger and stronger and to go from one strength to another, to another, to another, to another. I'm telling us, when we start going from strength to strength and we rejoice in that choosing that God has chosen us, we're not working for it. Can you hear me, New Life? We're not working for that. We have been chosen to receive that. We are chosen to carry the treasure. We are chosen to carry the treasure. He said, I'm going to put a treasure in select people who I choose, and it's you. And I'm going to get you carry the treasure. And you get to carry it into this world. This unique, special treasure. I chose you to carry it. You got to be kidding me. My mom wouldn't even trust me to bring the mail from the home for the mailbox. And we joke about it even today. We'll still say, did you drop anything? I couldn't even bring in the mail. God says, wait a minute. I will let you haul the mail. I'm going to choose to put a treasure in you. And I'm going to trust you with that treasure. Sometimes I'm going to choose you to be, put the button please. Sometimes I'm going to choose you to be hard pressed on every side, but I'll never choose you to be crushed. Some days you're going to be hard pressed on every side, but I will never choose for you to be crushed, ever. And some days I may choose to let some confusion or perplexed in your life, but I have not chose you to embrace despair. Some days I may choose you to be persecuted, but I'll never choose you to be abandoned. Some days I may choose you to be struck down, but never destroyed. Because you are a chosen people. Not just chosen that I can keep you in a nice safe little box until we get to heaven. Chosen to be filled with the Spirit. Chosen to be a witness. Chosen to carry the strength. Chosen to have the armor of God. Chosen to be responsible and privileged to carry the treasure. I chose you! Cock-a-doodle-doo! Woo! Woo! Somebody's exuberating or crowing. That more like a crow than it was an exuberate. I'll tell you what, I was all hopped up all week. I started unpacking this. I said, you got to be kidding, God. You chose me to do this. That does something to my gray matter. That's doing something to my life. And I'm so glad that God's got me on a journey to try to understand my mental health and to understand our mental health and to understand what regret plays in my life and how that can affect the gray matter. He said, wait a minute, step back. I'm going to unpack something for you that you can just barely understand, but I'm going to choose you to understand it. Continuing in the passage, he says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And if you translate that out of the Greek, he says, you are king priest. Amen. You know what that means? That means I have chosen you to have great authority. Chosen to have great authority. Push the button, please. Chosen to have great authority. I have chosen you to have great authority. And I have chosen you to stand in the gap as king to have great authority, as priest to stand in the gap for people. I've chosen you to stand in the gap for people. And I've given you great authority to be able to stand in that gap and not just whine and complain, but do something while you're in that gap. I have chosen you to be in that gap. Look what he says here in Mark. He, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Then again, go on to the next passage. Look what he says. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. And they will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. You know what? You don't hear too many sermons in conservative churches with that passage. So, you know what? What I didn't put in the box is a bunch of snakes. And I don't know if we should have snakes up on this platform or I should just drink poison and try to prove to you that God is faithful. But I think God is saying, I'm going to send you into this world, and when the enemy tries to stop you, he's not going to be able to stop you. I don't care if he stops you with a serpent. He doesn't stop you with hardship. He's not going to stop you with a poison. He's not going to stop you because you have great authority, and I've given you the authority to stand in the gap for all nations. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I've chosen you to be a holy nation. You are chosen to have the gold scepter extended toward us and invite us into the presence of the King. Oh. You have been chosen, and the gold scepter has pointed at you, Renee. And God is saying, I chose you to come into my very presence. In Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. because he has chosen us to approach him. He has extended that gold scepter to him, to us. He's done it. He's done it. Chosen to have the gold scepter extended toward us and invite us into the very presence of the king. Chosen to have access to the throne room. You have access to the throne room. That just makes me want to crow. I can't even get into Sam's Club. They said, dude, where's your badge? I don't have one. Get out of here. They won't even let me in that building. Now, if Cheryl goes with me, they let me in. I don't know if Cheryl has this code or something. She flips us thinking they let us in. And God says, oh, Sam's Club, who cares? I've invited you into my throne room. I've invited you into my very throne room. You have been chosen to have access to the very presence of God. You do. You have been chosen to have access to the very presence of God. You have been chosen to bring our worship, thanksgiving, praise, and the needs of God's people into the very presence of God. And you have been chosen to touch heaven and bring heaven to earth. Are you with me this morning? Hang on, I got one more pack of cards. It's a small pack. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I lied, two packs of cards. Just so you know, I got two in this one. It says this. Push the button, please. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal because you were slain. And with your blood, Jesus, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have been chosen to be purchased. It costs God. Listen, New Lifers. It costs God to choose you. It's not like recess and kickball where you get to choose somebody and they're going to play on your team for a half an hour and then they go back to class and it didn't cost you anything. God says, I want you to know you're worth it. Amen. I chose to buy you and I chose to make you my personal property. No trespassing, he said. You're purchased. Flip the button. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called us you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You have been chosen to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You've been chosen to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into light. You have been chosen to be a proclaimer of God himself. You get to talk about God. He chose you to do that. You're chosen to know that light defeats darkness. I'm telling you, it does. Light defeats darkness. You've been chosen to know that light defeats darkness. You have been chosen to know that whatever darkness is in or around us, others, or us or others will lose to the light. Do you know that? Let me finish up. Hang with me. Rejoice in his choosing. Living a rejoice in his choosing life will leave us with no regrets. Let me finish up just by reading the last two verses. Push the button, please. Once you were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Once you were not, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world, how do I know that you've been chosen for all of that in this world? That verse right there. That's the reason I'm including this verse. Why have you been chosen to be sealed and all the things we've been talking about, all the things you've been chosen for are for here and now, not when you die and go to heaven. Because he throws this verse in there. He says, dear friends, I urge you as strangers and aliens in the world to abstain from sinful desire which war against your soul. Verse 12 says this, live such good lives among pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I'm telling you what, that is a regret-free life. You've been chosen. Stand with me. God, I have a feeling that when I start rejoicing in your choosing that it's going to cost me to know and to start living out this. Lord, would you just fall on us right now fresh and just may we lose the excuses of not receiving what you have chosen us to receive. Father, there is a world out there that needs chosen people to live such unregretted lives that people would actually see God in us and glorify God. Father, thank you so much for that reality. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for how you're working in my life and in our life. And Father, as we go today, may we go in this choosing that you have chosen us. May we crow. May we exuberate. May we rejoice in this choosing. And may we live unregretted lives. In Jesus' name, amen.